We're back on Canuck Central. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, hour number two of the program. We're in the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? 650, 650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. Lots of reaction coming into our discussion. And we'll continue to have those discussions. And also, we see some overrated or underrated submissions trying to come in here through the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox as well. So let's get to it. It's overrated, underrated here on Canuck Central. Yes, I know everybody was waiting for the tweet today. I got it out early.
You did.
Made sure to get it out early.
Lots of submissions.
Lots of replies. We've got Fast Eddie Gregory producing the fine program today and getting the submissions in. And we have intern Zach behind the board as well. So, Eddie, what do we got on tap here? Oh, we need Eddie's mic on.
You have holidays in 2 days.
That's, you know, that was a good soundbite to drop in.
That was
in,
a good soundbite, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably the best soundbite we got.
We have holidays in 2 days. Philip Hronik is saying, you guys have holidays in 2 days?
Well, we'll start with that. Philip Hronik. Did somebody ask that question?
I'm pretty sure Philip Hronik asked that question of somebody.
Somebody asked the question
about
Philip Hronik, right?
Put that one aside.
So we'll do it later. Okay, we'll do it later.
It's a little pre-production, peek. But we revealed the magic trick already.
That's what you call a sneak peek.
Yes.
It's a tease, as they call in the biz. But we'll start with the biggest story coming out of last night, overrated, underrated, from Intergalactic Potato, winning the division.
Winning the division, it seems as though it's underrated by most, I feel like.
I think it is underrated. Not to say, again, like, you can enjoy and applaud and appreciate a regular season and then have a different level expectation for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, they're two separate entities. And after an 82-game marathon, the Canucks winning the Pacific Division for the first time and winning a division for the first time in, 11? Well, how many?
Yeah, 2012.
So, 12 years ago since the last time you won a division? Like, it's a great indication of where the organization is heading, hopefully, beyond this year, right? And the fact that you're already sitting here in a division with Edmonton and Vegas and you won it, I think it should be appreciated.
Nobody expected this to happen for the Vancouver Canucks this year, right? You were expected maybe to be a playoff team. If everything goes right, we'll be all right. Yeah, that's the quote from Jim Rutherford at the start of the year. This team has exceeded all expectations. And it's not a fluke. The way they set themselves up, they were prepared for the season, and that's what helped them get to where they are today. You should celebrate division wins. You should celebrate success in the regular season. Obviously, not as much as you would a Stanley Cup win, but success over 82 games should be rewarded and it should be enjoyed when it does happen. And I don't think you enjoy it enough because we're in this mindset of, like, it's always championship or bust in North American sports.
I find it funny, though, that some that would criticize it, if it doesn't mean anything, would also be very critical of the team for not winning a division, perhaps, if they didn't win it, and not being a good team or great team. It's like, you know, you can't expect great things from the team, and then when they accomplish good things, be like, well, it doesn't matter anyways.
Yeah.
I just think back to how much bad hockey we've watched the last seven or 8 years. Just
lots.
Enjoy it.
Yes.
It's not overly significant, but enjoy it. Overrated, underrated from Justin and East Fam. Same theme. Division banners.
Those would be overrated.
You think a division banner is overrated?
Yeah, like as a banner, like if it's hanging from a rafter.
I don't know. I'm into it. Celebrate it. You won the division.
Yeah.
You won something.
I like conference and cup. Fine. I like Stanley Cups and conference.
Okay, so what they have?
Do you put Stanley Cup finalist on your?
That's conference champion.
What's more impressive? Getting to a cup final and not winning, or winning a division?
Yeah, both are impressive. Both are impressive, and both should be celebrated.
But I think
what did Nashville get crushed for? Putting up Stanley Cup finalist or something like that?
Did they? Was it? Maybe.
It was something in the regular season, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe a regular season thing. But I think it's funny. Like, if you're criticizing Stanley Cup finalists, you can't criticize putting up a Pacific Division or a division banner.
Yeah, maybe.
But most teams putting conference championship banners. They just may not celebrate them at the home opener the next year if
yeah.
they lose.
Yeah.
But I think the Canucks have done what a number of teams have done. They'll still recognize their division titles and just put a banner with a list of
the years they've won their division.
Exactly.
Right, yeah, yeah. Division
I think
winners.
The Canucks have done
yeah.
that in recent years.
I don't mind that having like one banner or two that shows all the division wins or something. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the Predators, they got crushed for putting up Western Conference champions as a banner.
What? So,
but that's the year they went to the Stanley Cup final and lost to Pittsburgh. There's nothing wrong with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, to me, I don't know why people make fun of that. If you are defending putting up division titles, why would you be mad about being yeah. a Stanley Western Conference champion?
Well, because it's kind of a way of celebrating a silver medal.
Sure, celebrate it. What's wrong with celebrating success? You finish second. Yes, you want to win a Stanley Cup, right?
Yes.
But should you just like dismiss all the success you had and be like, yeah, I'm not happy. I want to. So the only reason at the Olympics you're happy finishing second and third is because you're getting hardware. So if we gave the runner-up a medal, would you feel better about it?
Yeah.
Like, what's the difference between having gold, silver, and bronze and enjoying finishing second?
Well, we've seen at the World Juniors, who was Elias Anderson, who threw his medal into the crowd
yeah,
after finishing second.
Yeah, and I'm sure, like, when he thinks about it down the road, he won't feel as bad about having a silver medal in a yeah. World Hockey Championship.
But there's a difference between a two-week tournament and a 10-month grind and laying it all out for that period of time.
Yeah, yeah, no, you can
be
upset.
So close and
but you can also appreciate the run that you had.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think, even the guys from 2011, they're upset about what happened, but none of them regret the fact they went through it.
Yeah, winning the President's Trophy and getting yeah. as far as they did.
Winning the Western Conference, getting to the Stanley Cup Final.
I'm into a division banner, honestly. I don't think you celebrate regular season successes. I've always had this take in baseball. If you win a division in baseball over 162 games, like, that is a marathon,
Dan
man.
Dan Riccio, 1949.
That
winning
is a
the
marathon.
To the World Series.
Then you get into these, like, best-of-five series where, like, a, weird dribbler through the infield is going to cost you
yeah.
your season. And it's just like, man, we played 162 for this? Can you believe it? So while CD's Escobar can steal a bunch of bases on us? An ump can call a ball outside on a pitch that was 5 feet out over the plate against Ben Revere. Not
Angel
that I have,
Hernandez ruined everything.
Not that I have scars about the Jays losing to the Royals or anything like that.
No,
but
clearly not. That game six, though, is the worst
it
game
was
ever.
So bad.
I can't stand that game. That's like the bane of my baseball existence. Game six against the Royals.
The Amish kid in the crowd is just like
the Amish kid snuck away to go watch the baseball game.
This one from Knuckles. Oh. You good?
Yeah, I'm
yeah.
good.
You sure?
Yeah.
From Knuckles, team awards as voted on by fans, even though getting it wrong, overrated, underrated.
I mean, team awards voted by fans cannot be underrated, can they?
They're
going to be clearly, because, the sample is a complete, you know what? People
yeah.
can put multiple votes in if they really wanted to figure out ways
yes.
to do so. It's manipulated. It's not a great indication of the fan base in general. Like, I think it's completely overrated. It's fun to do, and you shouldn't dismiss it, but it's overrated.
It is similar to All-Star voting, right?
Yeah.
How John Scott and the like got into an All-Star game, and whomever else in other sports has done it. It's happened as well, where like the home team that's getting an All-Star game will overvote their players to get
Rory.
Into said All-Star game, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. I don't think like any of the awards were so off base last night, though.
I mean, JT probably shouldn't be the MVP, but again, like we spoke about this too, that if you wanted to make a spicy argument for team MVP, it'd be JT.
Yes.
Release
so, like, you could
the ballots. Show every voter.
Like, if Demko didn't go down with the injury, he would have had a shout for MVP as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one thing is, like, would you trust fans more with NHL awards or media more with NHL awards? And I've been criticizing the media quite a bit when it comes to NHL awards
yes.
the past little while.
There are some media that are pretty bad with their votes, But generally, I think the gen pop of media that are voting on these awards, they do take it seriously, but there are some guys that
yes.
are just absolutely homers, and they're just going to vote for their hometown guy.
I was texting with a friend the other day. Who's going to be the one guy out of Edmonton that's going to vote for Evan Bouchard as the Norris winner this year?
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, there's you know what? I'm not going to say what I was going to say. I'll just zip it.
Zip it.
We have friends out in Edmonton, too. I don't want to paint them all with a bad brush. And then, you know, create speculation for who I'm talking about. So I'll just leave it.
Fair enough. From Tawasa Nux, overrated, underrated, finishing first in the Western Conference.
This year? Honestly, underrated.
No, in 3 years from now.
Yeah, this year, yeah. underrated, I'd say. Like, so, it's likely going to be LA, right? I mean, we'll see what happens. It could be, you know, Vegas could lose and LA could win, and it could be Vegas that ends up with the 8 seed. But is playing LA that much worse than playing Nashville, and the fact that you wouldn't have to travel as much? It'd be an easier travel going down to LA and back?
Yeah, you'd have a bit of an easier travel day. Like, the thing about it is avoiding Vegas. I think that's what most people are getting at when they send these kinds of messages in and comments in. Because LA is not all that scary.
I don't find LA scary. Now, I know they've had Vancouver's number in terms of results. I don't know if I would fear them as much in the postseason. I just don't feel that way about LA. I know you've been fading LA since before the season. I'd say underrated to answer the question, because I'm not as terrified of facing LA in round one as opposed to playing Nashville and the janky schedule you have against that team.
I can't say how nice it is to win a division and then downplay
winning the
conference. So. It's definitely underrated in my book.
Hassan from Burnaby. Overrated, underrated, extended rest for the playoffs.
Underrated.
Extended rest.
Yeah.
So not just like...
Keyword.
Extended rest.
So like Nashville getting 7 or 8 days off. Like, I'd rather have 7 or 8 days off than 2 days off like the Canucks are going to have.
Yeah, I would say though, there is something about like... just being so out of rhythm, say having 8 days off,
yeah,
that you just don't get going in game one, and then you lose the game,
yeah,
and then that gives enough time for the first team. Like, you, I don't know, I'd say somewhat underrated, overrated, extended rest. I think that can kind of blow up in your face too if you have over a week.
Yeah, I'd still rather take the rest than being on short rest.
Reach is trying to manifest that we don't start on Sunday.
Yeah, take the rest. Rest is good. Get those goes. Little bruises from the 82 to heal away. Get the rest you need. I can see how it gets you out of habit and routine,
yeah,
and stuff like that. Having like 8 days off, like, oh, we got a full bye week. Can we go to Cabo?
Like, if they're well, imagine if they're flat for the first like 10 minutes, and the Canucks come out as like,
yeah,
firing, right, all over.
Canucks
them
build a 3-0 lead in the first,
right,
10 minutes. Yeah.
Like, there is that risk of, you know, not being able to get yourself there.
I've always seen the argument in baseball where, like, if you're off for – if you have the bye in the first round and you're off for 5 or 6 days and your timing is off when you get back to the plate, and all of a sudden you go the first 3 games of the series and you're only able to cobble together, yeah, like 5 or 6 runs. And we've seen it happen so many times that it's just like it's in your mind. But I'm still generally rest over not rest.
Day 5 or 6 of practice could be like, let's just play the games already.
Yeah.
How many times can we battle hard? How many video sessions can we have?
That's true.
It can be preparation overload.
Yeah.
Like, the extent, like, 7 or 8 days is extensive. It's really long.
Well, and even Talk had mentioned today, too, it's like you also don't want to be overcoaching, putting too much stuff in the guys' heads either, right?
From Van City Nation 16, overrated, underrated, Lindholm as a 3C.
It feels like he's underrated as a third-line center because people are angry about how much they paid for the player. They're seeing Andrei Kuzmenko have a ton of points and goals and all these things. And it's like, well, what did we trade him for? Plus, we gave them a first-round pick and one of our top prospects. And we got 5 goals out of this guy? And he's our third-line center? What did we trade for? But I liked what I saw Saturday against Edmonton. I've liked what I've seen generally out of Elias Lindholm, and I think it's going to have a huge benefit to the Canucks come playoff time.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. We're too much on the same page with Lindholm.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, there's nothing else. I don't want to repeat everything you just said. So
just keep on moving forward.
Just say the trade was terrible, Sad, and it's overrated.
We already got a teaser about this one. but from Discount Dracula, overrated and underrated, Philip Peronic's Chirp Game.
You have holidays in 2 days.
You know what? I would say overrated, because all he said was what everybody always says. Don't you have golf? Like, as in, like, it's cold, but it's not what everybody says to the losing teams. Like, it's a chirp as old as time, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why it's great.
It's great. No, I know.
But it's not Matt Martin, go dye your hair.
No, that's good, too. Or what was it? I think it was.
If you're a perennial playoff team, maybe it doesn't have the same vibe, but when you're the Canucks...
I remember the Canucks, so back in the jerk puck era when the Canucks had Kessler and Burrows,
yes.
I remember, I mean, those guys were ruthless with how they went after guys. But I remember, I forget if it was Kessler or Burrows who did the grab the stick and did the golf swing with it on the ice. Like, you guys are about to go. So to me, that
wasn't that Todd Bertuzzi against Minnesota?
He did that. Well, he was saying some stuff. Like, he was chirping the fans. After game three in Minnesota, because we were up, well, it was game four, no, game Didn't five. They're up 3-1. He was chirping the fans about how the series is going to be over.
I also thought Bertuzzi chirped Minnesota when it was 2-0 Vancouver game seven.
That too, yeah. Well, he chirped them a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of Bertuzzi.
But you know what? To his credit, he also said when the Canucks were down 3-1 against the Blues, we're going to come back. Yeah. And they did. So sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
I don't know. Hronik gets extra points because you're not expecting that out of Philip Hronik.
Well, I mean...
It's underrated. I didn't expect that out of Philip Hronik. That's perfect.
That's more than I've heard from him talking to the media for the last 6 months.
When was the last time he did speak to media? Was it training camp?
It was that... There was a piece Ian McIntyre had earlier this season, and he got a few quotes from Philip Hronik.
And that's it.
That's the only thing I can remember. That's the only notable interview that I can remember from Philip Hronik all season.
He never spoke to media in Detroit. And has found a way to make that happen here in Vancouver as well. It's incredible. It's a great skill.
It's like when Hughes do all the talking for our D pair.
Yeah. He's the captain anyways.
Exactly. This one from Ernest Richmond. Referees falling victim to players' head snaps.
Oof. Happens way too often. I would say it's overrated. We'll see how it plays out in the playoffs, but... The best thing that's happened for referees, and it hasn't always played out this way because they haven't, I don't think, utilized it properly all the time when it's come to situations that have happened in Canucks games.
Yeah.
But the way it played out last night, you call the five on Höglander, and then when you review it, you can see that it's a very obvious head snap and embellishment from Braden Paschal. So you rescind the five-minute major, give him the two, and everybody is calmed down and ready to move on from the situation. But, you know, when they only gave Manson two for his hit on Miller, it's like, why aren't you calling five?
Yeah, no, I...
You know? And then when the Zadorov hit against Howden in Vegas, they immediately called the five and they reviewed it, and it's like, okay, that's fine. Yeah, great. That's how it should
that's
be done.
That's okay, yeah.
But... Why aren't they always doing that, right? Call the five, and then if you deem it to not be worthy of 5 minutes, then you can rescind it. I like the way that played out last night. It's hard for refs to manage the whole head snapping thing because it happens just way too often.
And I will say, sometimes, like, if you put a stick in somebody's face, the natural reaction is to kind of turn your head over it, too.
You flinch.
Yeah, and I think the Kadri one, too, that happened, was that so much him head snapping or... The hit had making him hit his back of his head against the glass. Like,
yeah.
It looked like he got hit in the chest and his back of his head had hit the glass. And his reaction was to having hit his head against the glass. So I'm not even sure that was embellishment necessarily. It's just the official got fooled by hit the head snap. But it could have been, I don't think it was an unnatural head snap. Like, he gets hit pretty high. It's right in the chest and the back of his head hits the glass.
I still don't know how that was elbowing, though. But
yeah, it's a bad call. There's no doubt.
All right, next.
This one from Austin and Langley, overrated, underrated, big playoff watch parties.
Underrated. I like playoff watch parties.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Isn't going to the rink a big playoff watch party?
Yeah, but it's like the actual game.
Yes.
I do get what you're saying. I'm not against it. I've kind of, I'd say underrated for the buzz around the city.
Yeah.
Because when you have watch parties, people get together. Like, it creates a real nice buzz around the city.
Does going to a bar and watching a game qualify as a watch party?
Yeah, it's a smaller watch party.
Okay. I love
is the sound on at the bar? Or is
it has to be.
Yeah, it has to be.
If the sound's not on at the bar, then it's not a playoff watch bar.
Then the bar is failing as a bar.
Yeah.
Well, it's not.
Then it's not a sports bar.
It's not a bar that's catered to your sport at the moment, even if it's not a sports bar.
Yeah.
It's not catered to your viewing experience.
I love doing that. Like, early 20s. That was one of my favorite memories. But I just didn't do that part.
No.
Can't control that.
Like, you want. If you're a fan of a team and your team is in the playoffs, you want to celebrate those moments with your community, whether that's a bunch of strangers at a bar or your close circle of friends that you have over for a playoff watch party, game two, you know, nachos and beers at my place, 7 o'clock puck drop, who's in?
So for me, it depends on games, right? Like a game seven, I'd be so nervous, or an elimination game, that I can't be around too big of a crowd. I'm just way too nervous about it. If it's like game two or something early on in a series, I think it'd be a lot of fun. You're in a good environment. For me, the higher the stakes get, the less people I want around.
Or the game goes to double overtime, see who drops off. I'm done after overtime one.
Yeah.
I'm done after overtime two. See who's left and goes to the third overtime.
I'm into playoff watch parties. Underrated.
We have a bunch more. Want to do on the other side?
Let's do one or two more.
Let's do a couple more. Yeah.
We'll go over. We'll go over right now. We'll do something.
Okay.
Let's do it now.
We'll do it now. We'll do it live.
We're doing it live.
Worry about the boss later.
Yeah. Overrated, underrated.
Is he even listening?
I don't know. Probably not.
He's listening to a podcast.
He probably. Listening to us from last hour on podcast.
Yeah. He's getting ready for your air check tomorrow. Overrated, underrated.
Air checks?
From Princess Erica. Former Canuck Brendan Morrison starting a YouTube channel to discuss hockey in the Canucks.
Has he actually done that?
Yeah, he did on the weekend.
Nice. Good for Brendan.
Two or three videos already.
Shouts to BMO. Underrated.
I give him credit for being a former player and actually getting his opinions out there.
Well, yeah, I mean, he had a fishing show for a while. I don't know if he still does.
Probably does. Man loves fishing.
He loves fishing. He had like an actual fishing show. Yeah. So
I'd say like he almost seems like he likes fishing more than he likes hockey.
Yeah. He loves both a lot. But we've had him on a few times. He's really good. Like, yeah. He gives an honest opinion. He's not quite like Yannick Hansen, because Yannick Hansen will spit fire consistently.
But Yannick holds no bar. Like, holds zero filter, and I love it for. I love him for it.
I think it's a step in the right direction. You need more players to do. Especially in this digital age nowadays. Mm-hmm. So much easier to do.
Overrated. It. He's going to take my job, so it's overrated.
Yeah, I mean, he is a former NHL player. Yeah.
Clearly. All right, next.
Going to tie these two together. Overrated, underrated. Bruins and Leafs series. And excitement about another Leafs first round exit. Going to tie two together.
Is it a slam dunk that the Leafs lose to this Bruins team?
I'm not sure, actually. Like, I think the Bruins are really tough to play against. My only question would be, are the Leafs disciplined enough and get good enough goaltending to be able to win those close, low-scoring games?
Yeah.
Every time I peek up at the TV, the Leafs are having a defensive breakdown. But they are playing against Tampa.
Yeah, and it's like the season doesn't matter.
It's an irrelevant game.
I think
Matthews is like 10 shot attempts already trying to get his 70th goal.
Looks like Willie Nylander's in fine playoff defensive.
Yeah.
I mean, I may end up picking the Bruins in seven, but I think that series goes deep, don't you think? I think it'll be a good series. Underrated series.
I think it'll be a long series. Probably. The thing about it is, like, I don't feel, not that I'm like sitting here and couching for the Leafs, but like they're not as good as they were in years past. Like a first round exit against the Bruins or the Panthers or whomever it would have been is a totally realistic scenario for this squad. Like they're not that good.
No.
The depth of the team is not all that strong. Their defense is legitimately poor. Like Brody's fallen off a cliff. Giordano is, I mean, he doesn't even play anymore. Liljegren hasn't taken a step like they hoped he would. You know, Riley can only do so much. Even Riley, like, he's a great offensive defenseman, but I wouldn't put him up there as...
He's not a true number one.
Yeah, he's not a true number one. So it's like your expectations of... It just feels as though the expectations of this team are not somewhere that live in reality. Maybe a couple of years ago, they should have been considered a Stanley Cup contender, always falling short. I'm not sure they're still that team that's a Cup contender falling short of their expectations. They are just who they are.
So if you're a Leaf hater, then, Like, if you, like, despise the Leafs,
yeah.
Would you rather see them lose in the first round? Or, as you mentioned, since they have a team that's not winning the Cup this year, most likely, would you rather see them get to the conference final and get everybody's hopes up to get crushed that late instead?
Oh, give them the hope. Give them the hope.
Yeah.
And lose in game 7 on home ice.
Yeah, or something, right? I mean, you're probably not going to win the Cup anyways, but at least it's like, it's the year you're not going to win it, you go far.
Yeah. Against all the odds, the Leafs finally put together some playoff success.
Overrated, underrated. Pulling the goalie with 5+ minutes in the third period remaining.
Is that what Torts did yesterday? Yeah. I think it was like 4 minutes or so.
It was like 4 something. Yeah. I mean, I'm all for being aggressive. To me, that was bordering reckless. Like, it's a tie game.
Well, the thing about it is,
to me, it was like, get them in a position like with a couple minutes left. If we put the pressure on in the offensive zone.
If they knew Detroit had just scored to send that game to overtime, there's no reason for them to pull the goalie.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something I thought about last night. You don't want the players on the bench to know, but the coaches want to be aware.
Yeah.
If I'm John Tortorella, I say to my video coaches who are probably watching that game in the back, we come up with a code word, whatever you want to use as a code word, relay code word to play assistant coach X, who then relays it to Torts. They all talk behind their line charts anyways. And then at least they know the scenario in real time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you could do that.
You could do that. But so let's say Torts knows that Detroit sent the game to overtime, so the Flyers are already eliminated anyways, and he's not pulling the goalie in the tie game. His players are going to be like, what are we doing?
Yeah, exactly.
Something's up.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, I don't think it mattered, really. Because people are like, well, gave the Capitals. Well, if it goes the other way, you're giving the Red Wings an advantage. Either way, somebody's losing, somebody's gaining.
Yeah.
The Flyers' 8-game losing streak doomed them anyways.
Yeah.
They were on borrowed time.
It just happened so quick. Like, how ridiculous. The way that it played out was so incredibly ridiculous. The Red Wings scoring with 3 seconds left. And, like, simultaneously, Torts is pulling the goalie.
Yeah.
So it's like, how does this all happen at once?
You got to love the universe, man.
Madness. All right. I will get some overrated, underrated overflow coming up and more before we send you off for the night. Stan Riccio, Satyar Shah. You're listening to Canuck Central.